And you know what we do in the show. If we're not talking about entrepreneurship, we either fighting with politicians. But the other thing we're doing, we always do, is we celebrate South Africans doing amazing stuff internationally. And we've spoken to Jerry Askoff, and that was a couple of weeks ago. Now, a few weeks ago, we had that brief chat with Captain Jerry Askoff, who is the South African pilot who was part of a successful team which broke the world record for circumnavigating the Earth by passing over both North and South Poles. Now, the line was a bit problematic at the time. So at least it's great to have you face-to-face, Jerry.
Yeah, lovely to be here.
What a great pleasure meeting you. At least this won't break down.
Exactly.
So I obviously want to talk about all the other stuff you do, because you fly for the Qatari royal family, etc. You've obviously did the whole record-breaking thing and amazing stuff. But tell us a little bit about yourself first. You are South African, obviously.
Actually, I was born in Rhodesia.
Were you born?
Zimbabwe,
okay.
Yeah, 1961.
Yeah. Okay.
Spent my life growing up in Zim. And then after the war there in 1981, I moved down to South Africa and been in South Africa ever since.
Okay, so you're South African.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's we'll how claim you. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So, I moved up to Qatar in 2004 and started flying for Emiri Flight, which is the royal fleet there, after in 2004 for 12 years. And then 3 years ago, I moved across to Qatar Executive to fly this Gulfstream G650, which we did the record in.
It really sounds like an amazing plane. I'd never be able to afford one, but it looks beautiful. That's all I can say to you. So let's talk a bit about your journey, because I love storytelling, right? So talk to us about your journey to flight. I mean, were you always wanting to be a pilot? Did you end up leaving school going, hey, I'm going to do my PPL?
You know, always. When I was about 3 years old, I lived in a little town called Plumtree.
Yeah.
And every year we have these little agricultural shows where the Air Force comes and does the display.
Yeah.
And I went with my dad, who was a doctor, and sat in the back of one of these Alouette 3s. And I don't remember the ride at all, but I remember the instrument panel. And I remember looking between the seats at the front and thinking, that's what I want to do. And I never looked back. I never wanted to be the racing driver or the fireman. It was just always a pilot or nothing.
All right. So your exit out of South Africa into this new world of yours.
Yeah. So I came to South Africa, tried to join the South African Air Force. Couldn't get in because I wasn't a citizen.
Mm.
So 3 years later, I became a citizen by naturalization. Went back again. They said, no, I couldn't be a pilot. I couldn't be a navigator or anything else except a pilot, which I had to have been resident in the country for 5 years. I went back again 2 years later, just having turned 25 a week earlier.
Yeah.
And 25 was the cutoff date. And I was declined because I was a week too late.
Oh, no.
So, so then I did my private pilot's license down in George then with Jim Davis. Studied my butt off to get my commercial pilot's license and my instructors, and started flying. I basically started flying commercially in 1989.
Okay, and your exit out of the country into the new world?
From here to Qatar?
Yes.
So I was flying actually with a colleague of mine. He handed me a little slip of paper one day and he said, listen, there's this company in the Middle East. They're looking for Global. I was flying the Global Express at the time.
Right.
And he mentioned to me that they were looking for captains overseas in this little country called Qatar. And to be honest, I had no idea. I'd never really even heard of it.
Yeah.
And it was – that arrival there, I kind of felt like I was on a train that was inevitably going to get there. And suddenly I was – a few months later, I was a captain flying for the Emiri fleet, flying for the royal family in Qatar.
Wow.
And we sold everything. We got rid of our home. We literally sent a container with everything to Qatar. It was a major move.
Well, I tell you what, it's not something you can say no to when you get an offer like that, obviously.
No, exactly, exactly.
So let's talk about the world record, the Guinness World Record that you've broken. So if you had to have an elevator chat to someone, so you meet someone, hey, Jeremy, great. Oh, you're the record-breaking pilot, part of a great team. Summarize that experience for me.
Wow.
Difficult, hey?
It is. You know, it was one of those experiences where everybody that was involved in the operation was literally at the top of their game.
Right.
So it was extremely humbling to be part of that team. You kind of felt continually that you were just surrounded by magic people. So involved, there was a core of eight who were on board all the time. So that was the three pilots from Qatar Executive. That's Jacob Beck, myself, and a guy called Yevgen Vasilenko. He's from the Ukraine. Then there was Hamish Harding, who was the chairman of Action Aviation, who was it was basically his brainchild that brought it to Qatar Executive, and because of the logistics that Qatar Airways / Qatar Executive have, we were able to carry this whole thing forward. And then we had our engineer, who Ben Rieger, he's from Germany. Then obviously on board, we had a flight attendant, Magdalena Starowitz.
Right.
She was from Poland. Then the astronaut, Terry Wirtz,
yes,
from the United States. Janneke Mikkelsen, who was the communications expert dealing with the satellites and the live streaming, from Norway. So everybody, the crew of eight were all different nations, and yet it just gelled. You know, it was one of those experiences that everybody knew their place, and yet whenever there was an incident or something that in their particular field wasn't running 100% right, everybody got behind that person. That person ran the ship for that particular instance to solve the issue. And then once it was solved, everybody was like back to their normal responsibilities. And it was just 47 hours of extraordinary performance.
How's your world changed after that? Is it a life-changing thing to get a Guinness World Record, be all over the place? Everybody now knows about you. Well, a lot more people. No? Just a feeling of self-accomplishment.
It's a very humbling experience. Mm-hmm. It's like I say, you know, to be put in on the same page as these people who I was flying around with was extraordinary.
Yeah,
really extraordinary. Has it changed my life? No, it hasn't. But it certainly was an achievement. But you do realize that it certainly brings it home that I was such a small part of a really big machine. You know, in Doha we had a control center that was set up, run by our operations in Qatar.
Right.
And their management of the entire thing, including monitoring the radiation levels crossing the poles, which obviously can be very detrimental, they looked after us and they did an extreme amount of planning for us. You know, it was just up to us to fly it.
Yeah. I know you say you were quite humbled by it, but if they didn't need you, you wouldn't be there.
That's true.
Right.
That's true.
So, Qatari royal family.
Yeah.
You befriend them? I mean, if you fly them around regularly, you know, do you end up making mates?
Not at all.
Not at all?
Not at all. No. It's a very respectful environment where we are there to do the job. We are there to transport them safely from A to B, and that's what we do.
So they don't invite you around for a bit of golf, for a bit of this, or a bit of that? Nothing?
No, that doesn't work like that.
Oh, is it?
No.
So there's this definite sort of invisible barrier, and you just have to be quite respectful. You take them, you do what you need to do, and they don't even interact.
They do. You know, obviously they will come to the flight deck and say good morning, say goodbye, but we are there to do a job. Our job is to make sure that we look after them, get them from A to B safely, and that's what
professional,
we do. Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
So, sorry, Bruce, we can't arrive at international arrivals and go, no, just find Jeremy. He knows the king. Right? Doesn't work like that. Anyway, Jeremy Ascoff, what a pleasure having you here.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you making the time to come in, and we're super proud of you, man.
Not at all. Thank you very much.
Super proud of your achievement.
Thank you so much indeed.
And in a world where we have the type of news that we have, we need this type of inspiration, quite frankly.
Oh, fantastic.
For our kids and for ourselves.
Privilege for me to be here.
No, wonderful. Thank you very much for your time.